SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid Hour number 2 on this Friday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh alongside Donnie Wrightside. A lot of good stuff coming here in this hour. Coach James Young will join us in our next segment to break down some of the draft picks and the best fits and things that he liked and things that he did not like from the NBA draft. We, of course, will talk a little bit about some of the Olympic headlines as well. Team USA Women's Soccer getting involved right now. We'll also preview a Major League Baseball board for you. But we're going to start right here with some Major League Baseball because today is the trade deadline. And I mean, you could have fooled me that this thing had not already passed. We have had blockbuster moves already go down. The question now is, Donnie, for some of these other contenders that we've not seen make any moves just yet, what will they possibly be doing today?
Yeah, here's what we're looking at here. And primarily, Kevin, you want to take a look at a division like the National League East, because it's not so much what the Phillies are going to do, what the Braves are going to do, but it's what the Mets are actually going to do here. Because making the transition from ownership from the Wilpons over to, you know, the new ownership with Steve Cohen now, he made it a point here. I'm buying this baseball team because I want to have a baseball team, number one. Number two, it's not about the money to me, and I want to bring a winner back to the city of New York, which means there are going to be no financial constraints here. So you see in the offseason, yeah, let's get Lindor. Yeah, let's re-up a couple big-name pitchers. We'll go get Taijuan Walker. We'll also keep Marcus Stroman to a major deal. Now, on the precipice of down the road, yeah, you're going to pay Pete Alonso and do all that stuff here, and you know Jacob DeGrom makes a lot of money. But he made it a point to say, we're going to shake things up, and similar to the Dodgers, Kevin, as the way I look at it here, that's the type of money you have in ownership. So we didn't get any blockbuster moves just yet out of the Mets, with a lot of teams chiming in and claiming some of these players. So will they get a bargain basement deal? I don't think so. I think they're going to make some waves today. And there's too many tea leaves out there and information leaking through about Chris Bryant going to the New York Mets, which would make a lot of sense. You can flip a lower-level prospect over, even if he is a rental, a Scott Boras client. He's probably not going to sign before the season ends, obviously, and there will be a bidding war. But if there is and Chris Bryant goes over to the Mets, Cohen goes, look at my pocketbook here, man. Let me open it up. If you like it here, 3 years, $125 million, you can stay here if you really enjoy it and if we perform up to the capabilities that we're wishing for. So when I'm looking first off here, Kevin, the New York Mets are the team I'm watching today before the trade deadline.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I do wonder if Cohen is potentially like, ooh, maybe my money doesn't work as well at the deadline and maybe more so in free agency because I need prospects, right? And I need to be able to, you know, get people on the phone. I think the Phillies are fascinating. I mean, they sit there, bang, 500, 51 and 51 through their first 102 baseball games, but they are four back of the loss column of the New York Mets, 3.5, however you want to slice it. And we know that they're right there in the mix. We know the Nationals are done. Like, I can't wait to see some of these national numbers moving forward. Basically, just, yeah, I got the Nationals team total over 2.5. I'm hoping Soto, you know, hits into a three-run shot. But we know the Nats are done. Miami's been done for a while, despite their positive run differential, which still is outrageous for a team 14 games under 500. Atlanta, look, Atlanta's been underwhelming, and then they lost their best players. So it feels like it will be the Phils that look to put the heat on the New York Mets. We'll bring the radio audience into the fold. We appreciate all those that are listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, all of our radio affiliates out there on a Friday morning, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside, talking a little bit about what we're looking to see here from the MLB trade deadline. And Donnie, let me ask you this question on the Giants. Is there any world in which this team says, hey, we weren't supposed to be here, man. We can't compete with the wildness that the Dodgers and the Padres are doing. Let's just see how far this thing can go.
That would be extreme cop-out to me because as I'm sliding down and taking a look at the standings here, they have a three-game lead over the Dodgers. They are the team that's played the best baseball in that division over the first half of the season. When we thought this was really going to be a two-team race and maybe the Giants will have a decent year and go 500 in Major League Baseball, not the case. They're very good. So you're going to tell me their fan base, their players on the field, And they're just going to use that camaraderie. Hey, we're not going to make any moves because we played really well. We don't want to shake up the clubhouse by adding really good baseball players. That doesn't sound right to me. So if they're going to make a move today, it's almost like, Kevin, you're just doing it to counter, even if it's not a major move. Maybe add a back-end bullpen piece, maybe two bullpen pieces together today. Maybe you just add a decent bat, and maybe it's not a Chris Bryant-type level situation. But you cannot tell me at the end of this Major League Baseball season, if the Dodgers pass them and the Padres end up passing them, you can look at the trade deadline and say, guys, we were in first place by three games, and we didn't improve our baseball team and basically said, oh, yeah, we're good enough right now because we have the three-game lead. Championship teams with championship aspirations, no matter how good they are, Kevin, at the trade deadline, they improve their team to try to slam the door and increase their odds. I would be thoroughly shocked if the Giants stay idle today and just pick up like a random back-end bullpen piece that won't actually factor in, knowing that the Dodgers might one-up them against it. What if the Dodgers get Kimbrel today? Which is not out of the question. Mm-hmm. They can afford anybody they want and flip any prospect they want. You have to look at that from a divisional perspective here, because the Padres, we know, they're looking still to make moves. They tried to get Scherzer yesterday. I doubt they're going to be idle today. It would be astounding if the Giants stayed pat at the trade deadline and did not improve themselves while the Padres and the Dodgers are going all in, Kevin, to try to pass them.
I also want to make sure I actually bring up one baseball headline that we're not able to get to. Cleveland Indians manager Terry Francona stepping away for health reasons. This is a baseball team right now that sits second in the AL Central, 50-49 overall. Are they a postseason team? Very likely not, but still an important note there. Francona going to step away. Coming back, the early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live here on this Friday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. I want to quickly let folks know a little bit of breaking news from the NBA. Nothing earth-shattering, but Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN has reported that the Jazz and the Thunder have agreed on a trade where the Utah Jazz will be sending Derek Favors and a future first-round pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder for a future second. All OKC do is add draft picks. And last night, they certainly made a couple of interesting ones. And to help us recap all of that, Coach James Young. Coach, long night last night. How we feeling?
I already had my pork roll, egg and cheese, and I got my iced coffee. So let's roll, baby. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Donnie, are you all right with a pork roll? Taylor Ham, are you all right there, Donnie?
It's a fight. Yeah, it's a big fight on that one. But that is a quality sandwich that we have here in New Jersey. Very good on you, Coach. That's a way to start the morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coach, look, here's where we're going to start things off, though. The top three. Cade Cunningham goes to Detroit. Jalen Green goes to Houston. Evan Mobley goes to Cleveland. Any issues whatsoever with how the top three landed here on draft night?
No, Kevin. I mean, it pretty much went chalk. Everyone expected it. There was no value whatsoever in picks 1-3. Plus, Woj basically gave it away 12 hours beforehand, so there wasn't even a market for it. So, yeah, obviously, you know, you look at the top of the draft, three different players, three dynamic players. You know, Cade Cunningham. People call him maybe a Grant Hill, a Luka Doncic, really can play multiple positions, really hopes to take Detroit to the next level. You know, with two, Jalen Green, a human pogo stick, dynamite offensive package, kind of in the mold of like a Zach LaVine. And then you got the big boy, you know, Evan Mobley going three. Kind of has that kind of Chris Bosh, DeAndre Ayton, that new style center that can play the power forward spot, can handle the ball a little bit, good shooter. I'm going to say this. I wouldn't be shocked in 5 to 6 years from now if Mobley is the best of the three.
Interesting stuff here, Coach, as we take a look, because obviously we always look for superstar talent in the NBA draft. You get the number one pick overall because you're not a good basketball team or a good basketball franchise. We know the Detroit Pistons of the past in the 80s with those, you know, Joe Dumars, Isaiah Thomas teams, the Bad Boy Pistons, so much fun to watch. And then also that workman-like team that they had in the early 2000s there with Larry Brown coaching them up with Ben Wallace. Just give me some thoughts here on Cade Cunningham now having the city and the franchise on his back, what he's anticipated to do, because as I've heard, you know, through the grapevine here, one of the better draft picks or the better chances to draft a superstar over the past 10 to 15 years is Cade Cunningham. Talk to the people out here a little bit about Cade Cunningham, what we can expect, at least from the next couple years, from him and the Detroit Pistons.
Well, Donnie, a couple of things about Cade off the jump. He's got the size and strength to be a point guard at 6'8". Can create for himself and for his teammates. Great handle. Three-level score. You don't see that a lot. You know, Donnie, coming into the NBA, the guy that can hit the three, hit the mid-range, and get to the cup and finish. Detroit will love this, plus defender who can guard multiple positions. So this is a guy who can do a lot of things on both sides of the ball. And listen, you know, Detroit is an amazing basketball city, rich tradition. Like you said, they haven't been really good, you know, since the Larry Brown days of the early 2000s. Now you got him, you got Sadiq Bey, you got Isaiah Stewart. You got Jeremy Grant. You got some pieces here now, guys, where maybe not next year, but in 2 years, you could be talking about playoffs back in Detroit, which would be phenomenal for the NBA.
Yeah, that certainly would be nice to see. So, Coach, talk to me then about maybe a team who you look at what they did in round number one, and you came with, like, oh, man, that is not what I would have done, not how I drew it up here. Who's a team that would fit that description, Coach?
Well, if anybody was listening to Kevin, myself, and Ben last night, I came out with the first James Young, your Big Dummy Award. And your Big Dummy Award goes to, drumroll please, the Sacramento Kings. I mean, you got De'Aaron Fox. I even forgot. You got Tyrese Halliburton, who you just drafted last year. And with the ninth pick, with all the what you need in the front court, guy like Shingun, shooters like Moody, Book Knights on the board, you turn around and you take Davion Mitchell. Now, I'm not saying Davion can play. He's a player. But I just wonder, guys, where does he fit in? Is someone getting moved? You're not moving Halliburton. You just got it. You know, you want to move De'Aaron Fox after he scored 25 points a game and got you 7 assists? So I just thought that pick was the one that really I was like, you know, the draft had kind of started turning left a little bit as Book Knight started to drop, but it took a sharp left turn when we saw that pick come in at number 9.
Coach, I always like to look at value in the drafts. As I say, hey, it's pretty easy to draft Cade Cunningham number 1 overall, but looking from your perspective, and let's just keep it in the first round here. You know, later round draft picks here in the first round, we can see superstar talent sometimes slip out of the, you know, first 10, first 15 picks out of the lottery itself. Give me some thoughts on some of the players that you thought maybe were very valuable here that slipped down later in the first round here last night.
Donnie, there were two guys I really liked that I thought dropped. One is Moses Moody. K-Perk, Moses Moody. That's his name, just in case you forgot. There are rumors where you're having a little trouble last night, but J-Y's got you, brother. Now, Moses Moody, you know, this guy is a 3-and-D guy. I thought he was perfect. He was someone I thought maybe Sacramento at 9, Memphis at 10. I had him going in the top 10. I actually had him going 8th originally to Orlando. So I thought Moses Moody going 14th was great value. And then Book Knight at 11, you know, people were hot and cold on him. Maybe we should have figured this out because he was down in the draft boards. Donnie, he started flying up the boards, and now he came back to 11. Stinks for anybody that put minus money on him in the top 10. I'm sure you're really, you know, happy with that this morning. But Book Knight, who's someone in the Jordan Clarkson mode, is a walking bucket, really could be good at the next level in the NBA. Got to remember, had that injury last year, kind of came out of the block slow, finished up better. Maybe he would have been a higher draft pick if he would have had a full season. Book Knight's the other guy I do like where he got in regards to value because I thought he was going 6 or 7.
Coach, we don't have odds to win Rookie of the Year just yet. When we get them, Cade Cunningham is going to be the favorite. We know that. Based on where players landed, who is a guy that you think could maybe legitimately win that award outside of Cade Cunningham, or maybe a sneaky guy? When you see the board, you're like, I'll get value on that guy to win Rookie of the Year.
I think if you talk about value, Sengun. I think that's a sneaky good pick. Listen, Houston is another team. They had a pretty good draft last night, getting Jalen Green and getting Sengun. I believe it's 16. That guy is a versatile player. Is going to be really good at the next level. Plays really, really hard. I think that's a guy that could be a sleeper in regards to Rookie of the Year. Now, if you look for other guys, you got to look for guys that's going to get immediate playing time and a lot of it. So obviously Cade falls into that mix. I'm going to go to five. I'm still not seeing the fit all the way with who they have coming back, but I assume they're going to give the keys to Jalen Suggs over there in Orlando. And if he does that with the type of pieces that comes around him, he's a dynamic guard, had a really big NCAA tournament. He's another guy I wouldn't be surprised get some Rookie of the Year looks.
Coach, only about a minute left here in the segment, but filling out an NBA roster equally as tough to do as a GM. So as we take a look at the second round, there were some big names that moved there later. You know, Marcus Zegarowski, Luka Garza, and also Charles Bassey to the Philadelphia 76ers. Talk about maybe some quick moves here in the second round that you were impressed with.
Well, there were a couple. The one move I do like, and I was kind of mad at them early on, I like what the Knicks did with McBride in the second round. That's a Tibbs guy. I think he's going to be really good, defends, can shoot the ball, good fit. New York needs a point guard. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a big rotational piece for the Knicks this year.
Coach James Young, incredible stuff. As always, thanks for joining us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are right back here on the Early Line. And it's time for Take It or Leave It. I want to start, though, with the update in a game that is live right now. I know we got a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost that is rolling involving the USA women's soccer team, Donnie. And I know you have eyes on this game. How's this thing looking right now?
Yeah, 2-2. It's Netherlands got up 1-0 over Team USA, but quickly before the half, 2 goals in 3 minutes to put Team USA ahead 2-1. But it's since been tied up by the Netherlands 2-2 here with about what? It's in the 65th minute, so looking at about 20 or so minutes left to go in that game. We'll see what happens because the odds boost here is not for them to win the game, which probably would have to take place in regulation. It's just to advance to the next round. So 2-2, hopefully Team USA can pull it together for a nice little start to the morning here on the Early Line, and we'll watch that one finish out.
Odds available right now, if you would like, on the FanDuel Sportsbook to bet this in-game. Plus 105 for the draw. Again, that is settled, of course, within those 90 minutes. Plus 150 on USA, and then plus 450 on the Netherlands. Let's stick with the Olympics. A lot of interesting stuff, of course, that we're going to be following. The men's Olympic golf stage has Xander Schauffele as a considerable favorite right now, plus 165. But, of course, everybody's favorite, the men's basketball team, will return to action against the Czech Republic this weekend. Donnie, 23.5-point favorites for USA basketball. Take it or leave it.
I mean, we have to take it at this point, right? They righted the ship versus Iran, an easy victory. Once they got that victory over Iran, why not make them the favorites, which they are to win the Olympic gold medals? But hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit here in that direction. Do I still think Team USA is going to win an Olympic medal in this? Absolutely, I do. Hopefully it's gold to push through some of those FanDuel, you know, sports books odds boost that we have been participating in. But take a look at the 23.5. Is it one of those stances, Kevin, that we take again? Because we found a lot of gold outside of actually winning the gold medal for the Team USA and taking them in the first quarter or maybe the first half. I don't want to see a meltdown or maybe they can't play in the second half. Even though versus Iran, they won every single quarter and blasted Iran in a blowout game in the fourth. Maybe we look more towards a first quarter or a second quarter, but I do believe that they now are comfortable in Tokyo, you know, getting the jet lag out, about getting the loss out of their system to Team France, picking up an easy victory over Team Iran. Now I do believe they should be able to carry the day versus the Czech Republic. Why not by 25, Kevin? I am taking this with Team USA to advance into the medal round stages.
So in the truest form of it, right, it's a take it, but this is what Donnie and I have done with Team USA in the first two games, and there's just no reason to change course right now because it's worked brilliantly. Bet this team in the first quarter, or bet this team in the first half, or bet them for both. They are 2-0 in the first quarter and 2-0 in the first half against the number. They lay 7 in the first quarter of this game, and I quite like Donnie, like 13.5 in the first half there. Again, if you want this team to win this game by 25, 30 points, them to be up by 14 at the break here and continue to come out hot, focused, inspired basketball, I need this team to be up 14 for me to feel good about it there. So I would take it on them in the first half. I think, based on what you were saying there, you would probably tend to agree. You'd rather bet this team early than late.
Exactly, because what you're looking for is maybe in when you get to the second half, if the game gets a little bit out of reach, which it did against Iran, and the Team USA played wonderfully, scoring 38 points in a blowout situation with a lot of bench players. But if I'm going to get the big guns, chances are, Kevin, they are going to play most, if not all, of the first quarter. No foul trouble issues, no injury issues, you know, healthy, no tiredness, you know, in the second quarter, the third quarter that you might get. It makes a lot of sense to take them in the first half because, honestly, you might get the best effort out of Team USA, and you are correct. If Team USA is up 7 points at the break, they're probably not covering that big, massive number of 23.5. If they are covering at the break, there's a good chance that they will cover, but still no guarantee. Get in and get out with money. Team USA should get out to a quick start here against the Czech Republic. I think that's a good call.
Indians White Sox today sees Lance Lynn take the mound for Chicago, and he will take the mound as the favorite to win the AL Cy Young. Gerrit Cole shelled yesterday down there in Tampa Bay. He's now plus 175. Lance Lynn is now plus 110 to win the Cy Young. Donnie, take it or leave it on Lance Lynn to win what looked like Gerrit Cole's award.
Yeah, dueling teams here, and I should say dueling players, because it looks like each and every star, Kevin, we're going to get a shift in the odds. Not so much like DeGrom is like a minus 1,000 or so to win the Cy Young in the National League, but just take a look now. It was Gerrit Cole's award to win over Lance Lynn, but now you're seeing a plus 175 number on Cole. So now we are oddsmen here, as we like to say, and are you looking to take the value on the number? Because one bad start can turn into another one great start, and those numbers can certainly change. Now, the ingredient here that we have to watch out for is how much do the voters actually weigh the overall team? Because if we take a look at the New York Yankees here, let's say they don't make the playoffs. Well, are you going to give the Cy Young award winner to a guy's team that didn't even make the playoffs? Or are you going to go with a guy having a very good season and a team that won their division and made the playoffs with Lance Lynn? This should be an interesting one down the stretch. But if you are looking for value, I don't stress on taking Lance Lynn at the plus 110 today when you could have had much better prices over the past couple weeks. But I do look at Gerrit Cole, maybe a reinvigorated Yankees team, because again, the original point I'm bringing up here, what happens if the Yankees, Kevin, surge in August and September? A big reason is A, going to be the bats that have been added in Joey Gallo and also Anthony Rizzo, but more importantly, buoyed by that pitching staff, which means Gerrit Cole is probably going to have to pitch well down the stretch. Plus 175 seems like a decent price here. That's the way I would lean. After one bad start, we're saying, oh, no, Kevin, he can't win the Cy Young. I don't believe that.
Right, after, like, locking up the award and his performance against Houston, ultimately, right, we talk sometimes in terms of value. What's value? Cashing a ticket or getting a bet at the optimal number? It's somewhere in the middle. But don't run to the market right now on Lance Lynn at plus 110. There might come another point where you can get this at a better number or at least be further along in the race where you feel a little bit more confident in Lance Lynn. It's certainly a leave it there. Let me pause quickly on this game, Donnie. I mentioned it briefly, and I want to expand on just a moment. Terry Francona is going to step away from the Cleveland Indians due to health reasons here. Francona is one of the legendary managers of this sport preseason. I had made a case for Cleveland to go over their win total because all he does is have above 500 seasons. Right now, they sit there at 50-49. For you, as a daily bettor, team totals, whatever it might be, do you now need to step away from Cleveland for good, for a little bit here, or is it still just all systems go? At the end of the day, how much of a difference does a manager make?
Yeah, Cesar Hernandez actually got traded as well. So we'll see if they disband this team more, you know, in the next, what, 16 hours or so before the deadline actually kicks in. But it manager doesn't make really that big of a difference to me in baseball because you know the lineups are professionals. They play each and every day. The manager not being there, you know, or being in the clubhouse or not doesn't really make all that much of a difference. But looking at the Cleveland Indians as a season whole for me, I haven't bet them very many times, Kevin. I don't like the roster as it's constructed right now as a team that can have, string together big innings to get team totals. I haven't been on them all year, but to get to your point in the question, since Tito Francona is going to step aside here in Cleveland, it has no impact on me whatsoever if I was going to bet them or not bet them, Kevin.
Yeah, and I think for me, if I were to be willing to get to the board on Cleveland, like, look, today, look, I'm not backing an Indians team total over against Lance Lynn, regardless, but maybe I wait a little bit. Maybe a little bit. I think Don is right on a daily basis. How often are you looking at a manager and thinking, oh, yeah, I like the team total because of what Tony La Russa put out there today? No, quite the opposite. Apparently, Ruman, Yerman, Mercedes. I want to bring up Phillies Pirates as well here. It's a big battle in Pennsylvania because Pittsburgh looks stuck in the mud once again, and the Phils need to put results up on the board. We've mentioned opportunity is there, but you have to actually seize it. Donnie, take it or leave it, the Phillies sweep the Pirates this weekend.
I would love to see it, but I'm leaving this on the table. Let's keep in mind what we saw yesterday, Kevin. You're talking about a team that is ravaged by COVID being the Nationals. You're talking about a team in the Nationals that knows everybody is on the trade deadline and, you know, about to be moved out, with Scherzer got moved out, Trey Turner got moved out, Schwarber got moved out, and they were so lucky to get a split from that dead team in the water yesterday, Nationals. So you try to flip it over to another dead team in the water, which is the Pittsburgh Pirates. Take a look at this, Kevin. Since they beat the Giants roughly a week ago, 10-2 with an offensive explosion, let's go over their offense here. One run the very next day, shut out 9-0 by the Brewers, lost 7-3 to the Brewers, and oh yeah, last night, 12-0 against the Brewers. The Phillies should be able to roll the baseball out there and pick up easy win after easy win from the Pittsburgh Pirates. But here's the issue with the Philadelphia Phillies. We're still rolling out Matt Moore. I say we as being a Phillies fan. Still rolling out Matt Moore. You know who's expected to take the bump today for the Philadelphia Phillies? Vince Velasquez. Whenever I see Vince Velasquez on the mound, there is a chance, Kevin, you have zero shot at sweeping the team that you are about to play. Being passionate about this, do I want the sweep? Yes. But do I trust the Phillies? Absolutely not, Kevin.
Let me make a point here on the Phils. Look, at the end of the day, Nola and Wheeler is a great 1-2. Not every team is going to be able to go out there and give you an all-star trio. What cannot happen for a team that wants to be taken serious in a postseason race is that three of the starters, they're trash cans. Like, every time Howard gets up there, I'm like, this is great. Worst case scenario, he goes three clean innings and I'll just attack the bullpen. Velasquez and Moore. Donnie the other day, I've never seen Donnie so confident on a play of the day when he bet the Nationals team total over against Matt Moore. It took two innings to cash that team total. You cannot keep these guys in the rotation. And let me just add this on the Phillies quickly here. Listen to this upcoming schedule. 3 in Pittsburgh, 4 in Washington, and then 3 games where they host the New York Mets. That's opportunity, folks. You're talking about a Pirates team that's stuck in the mud, a Nats team that I think I just got a call asking me to play a little first base. Look, back in my CYO days, the glove was questionable, but the eye was strong. The Nationals team that you should beat up on, and then it's right there for the taking. You control your own destiny against the New York Mets. The Phillies' opportunities are there. They better make some moves here today. We'll talk about the baseball board next year on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are right back here on the Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside with you on this Friday morning. Time to preview the Major League Baseball board. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about betting on trade deadline day. I think yesterday certainly is also a bit of an animal, right? Perhaps you were an early bettor. You got Cubs bets in. Well, so where'd Anthony Rizzo go, right? What is it like, though, betting actually on deadline day? Like, I really want to see what the Cubs-Nationals lineups look like, and those teams are playing each other today. But, Donnie, let me ask you, what's the approach here? What should people be looking for as it pertains to betting today's baseball board?
Like, I don't want to say stay away, but there are some teams out here that are going to still be making moves. Now, the interest comes in, which a lot of gamblers out there, and rightfully so, Kevin, you try to beat the number. But beating the number on trade deadline day, maybe not the smartest equation, because a lot of people that are looking at underdog teams, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates per se, and you say, you know what, I got this price right here against Vince Velasquez. I think it's only going to get worse throughout the day. And yet you wait, and next thing you know, a big bullpen piece has moved. Two more players out of your young lineup have moved as well. So now you're relying on AAA guys, AA guys getting the call up, and also a team deflated from waving the white flag from their front office ownership. So when we start to turn it on and flip the switch the opposite way, Kevin, the teams that you already are going to be looking at, let's just say the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees in that respect, they're not going to be trading away team pieces. They're going to be adding on. So what that means is, Kevin, you're not going to lose a starting pitcher today from the Boston Red Sox. You're not going to lose a key contributor in the lineup from the Boston Red Sox. You're not going to lose the Red Sox closer today. So those are the teams that you do want to watch out for and probably bet on, as opposed to saying one of these underdog teams that might be moving more players off of the roster. Because keep in mind as well, the mindset that you have with the trade deadline coming up. A lot of players are on edge. So when you look at the teams that are in sell mode, or just bad baseball teams, the Baltimore Orioles, the Kansas City Royals, the Minnesota Twins, the Texas Rangers, everybody on that active roster is checking their phones and checking in with their agents. What have you seen? What have you heard? Do you think I'm on the move today? Should I pack my bags? Am I going to go to the ballpark early? There are a lot of things that have to be deciphered before the games take place. So from a betting perspective for myself, look towards the better baseball teams today, because that's where the least amount of lineup shakeup, Kevin, is going to be.
And let me give you folks two pieces of advice, and I think maybe, you know, kind of one from each of us personally. One thing that I've learned from Donnie is just the idea of circling games. When you're early betting or you're looking at a board early, just circle what stands out. It doesn't mean you have to grab it right away, but at least you have an idea of what your card might look like, what the board, how the board reads to you. Here's one thing, though, that I know I was doing a lot during the NFL season. When I was betting well, when I was making correct decisions, and I've been doing a little bit better even with this during the second half of the Major League Baseball season, is if you are about to get to the window because you've decided to go with a patient approach and you're about a 7 o'clock baseball game at a quarter to 7, which I know some people think is sacrilegious, but you can do it. But if you get to the window and your number is gone, let's just say you like the team total over 4.5, now it's 5.5, you can pass. You can pass on that game. There are other games on the board, or In Play Sports Tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Sports Grid Radio. Myself and Donnie will find you that number that you're looking for. I promise you, we'll find you that number that you're looking for here. I also, though, need to bring up another important change, and this snuck up on me, Donnie. I initially didn't even put this game in the list of games that we were going to break down, but the Blue Jays and the Royals are getting involved. Now, that is a big deal because of where this game is going to be played. If I'm not mistaken, Donnie, we're going back to Toronto here with Stripling and Lynch on the mound. And look, I'm not, you know, the total, of course, the money line, all of that is incredibly interesting. I'm sure there will be people who are going to look to lay numbers on Toronto, back in Toronto. How could they not be excited about it? But I know that typically Blue Jays home games has been a haven for overbettors, right? Home run prop bettors. What do you think now about this move back here to the Rogers Center?
Yeah, it should be an interesting one to see how it plays out, because you do think they're going to get a bump, being the Toronto Blue Jays being back at home in front of their fans. But also keep in mind, we're not talking about, you know, the Blue Jays are finally back in town, so let's sell out 55,000 strong in the Rogers Center. That's not going to be the case. I believe it's only maybe 10 to 13,000 fans back, but it will help. Also keep in mind, we're still in the summer months here, Kevin, and with COVID hanging around, a lot of dome stadiums outside of Houston and, you know, Arizona, where it's 105 degrees maybe at first pitch, that's not going to be the case place in Toronto. So that roof will be open, letting in the heat and humidity today. And also taking a look at just from a Royals perspective, you get a lefty on the mound who's not that good, but he's actually performed a little bit better over the last 30 days. So something to keep an eye out for. But I do think this helps, mainly with the Blue Jays. We've heard over there, hey, my family actually gets to see us. My family actually gets to buy a house with the free agents who even came last year, Kevin. They didn't play any games in Toronto. Now you can get back into the country, can have some semblance of a home field advantage, but also a true home for yourself, not a hotel room, Kevin. That's a big difference here for the Blue Jays.
No doubt about it. I want to talk about some of the other teams here in the AL East. We're going to start with the Yankees. Donnie said the Yankees could make the card. What about today? Again, we've heard that Joey Gallo is supposed to be debuting. Could Anthony Rizzo be available as well? We'll certainly see. I know the Marlins fit the description of a team you don't want to be betting on. Aguilar, Duvall, a couple of names that have been tossed around as pertains to Miami. Donnie, what do you think about the Yanks and the Marlins getting involved down there in Miami?
Yeah, it seems like an under here from a perspective because Tyone's been pretty good over the last 30 days, but also it's not so much of how good Tyone has been. You're going to a true pitcher's ballpark down in Miami and a dead lineup on arrival, which may be making more moves today before the trade deadline. So you automatically point to a favorite for the New York Yankees. Minus 152, honestly, for once in the Yankees seems cheap. Donnie, how's that cheap? Didn't you watch the Yankees yesterday in Florida not even show up against the Tampa Rays with their Cy Young ace on the mound? Sure, I understand that. But now you're going into a different environment and a recharged environment. Gallo's probably going to start today. We saw Rizzo taking pictures, leaving Wrigley late yesterday, but let's keep in mind, that's a private jet 2.5-3 hour ride down to Miami. It would not surprise me if Rizzo was possibly in the lineup as well. Now, maybe you want to hide some of these players once you get the DH back in the American League ballpark, since you are playing versus the Marlins down in Miami, but no way, shape, or form could you get me tonight to be like, you know what? The Marlins at plus 128 here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's where I want to go. It would be Yankees or nobody for me tonight, even though the Yankees got blasted yesterday by the Rays.
The Yanks, for some reason, apparently someone told them about getaway day, and they're like, oh, like, we don't need to show up at all. And they've been doing it all season long. So that why that wasn't as surprising. Like, I rolled over, checked my phone. It looked like the Bucks were in town. I put my phone down, and that's all there is to it. I think the Yanks are going to be a really interesting team here if that lineup does include Gallo and Rizzo. The Rays and the Red Sox here, Donnie, going at it down at Tropicana Field. This is a big one because quietly, Tampa is not as far back of the Red Sox, I feel like, as sometimes we talk about it. I mean, they're one back in the loss column, and they're favorites to win this baseball game. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, you take a look at just side by side because these two teams theoretically are fighting it out here for the AL East lead. But when you take a look at the better pitcher, I want to lean towards Tampa Bay in this game. They're 142. So a lot of people say, well, wait a second. First place team getting 120. The Red Sox are a good baseball team. Where do I sign up? Not so fast here because now let's take a look at the last 30 days. Martin Perez, not the greatest caliber pitcher. In the past, he's usually one of those guys, Kevin, 4 innings, 85 pitches, then exits and hands it over to the bullpen. Last 30 days for him, an xFIP number, which isn't too bad at 4.02, but take a look at the weighted on-base percentages here from both the lefty and the righty batters going up against him. Primarily, you have a chance to stack a lot of left-handed bats here for the Tampa Rays. Now, Perez, who is a left-handed pitcher, 349 weighted on base percentage and a 211 ISO power number. You know, you're looking at Lau's going to be in there, Wendell and Kiermaier. They should be okay, but also from a right-handed perspective to try to get some of those bats in, particularly Nelson Cruz, who's actually been struggling over the past 30 days against left-handed pitching. Perez doesn't fare so well. 390 weighted on base and also a 211 ISO power number. There's a lot of decent bats in the lineup for the Rays. The only thing I struggle with here, Kevin, is when we take a look at where the game is at. So if I want to take the Rays and maybe a team total, which we think would make some sense, not the greatest hitting environment in Tampa, even though they did explode yesterday against Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees. But if I'm looking from an overall perspective, give me the better pitcher. Give me a decent baseball team that's at home. I might be laying the 142 here with the Rays, which lines tell you something, Kevin, and that's reading into it. It looks like that is a Tampa Bay Rays line to me.
I'll tell you what, I hate watching baseball games at that field. I just had to deal with the Yankees there. This game might as well not even be playing. Like, of course, I'm watching it. It's very relevant in terms of everything that's going on in Major League Baseball, but boy, am I excited to not watch a game at Tropicana Field tonight. I also have to bring up Astros Giants. There is a lot about this game that is significant to me. One is the fact that San Francisco just keeps winning baseball games. They're basically unbeatable at home this year. They're tossing Kevin Gausman out there. These are the two best records in Major League Baseball. The other thing, Donnie, that I cannot stop staring at, no matter what I think about the Astros as an organization or their players, I bet their team totals gladly day in and day out a 3.5 on that Astros lineup. I know Gausman's good. Boy, I will be taking a long, hard look at that 3.5. What do you make of Astros-Giants, Donnie?
Yep, and here's what sway you away. Obviously, we know this is one of the true pitching ballparks out there in Major League Baseball in San Francisco, but also take a look at Gausman. Look at his xFIP over the last 30 days, Kevin. It's 6.10, which is astronomically high due to what you actually perform that you're getting on the field, because he's walking a little bit too many batters here. 15.2% of the batters that he's faced over the last 30 days he's walked. And also, ground ball percentage, Kevin, the higher that number, the better for a pitcher, because it usually leads to less extra base hits and less home runs. Only 36% of the batters that he's faced are actually hitting ground balls, which is a bad thing, which means you're getting line drives and fly balls in the air. But here's the caveat on this game, which is why that Houston Astros team total number is so low. Let's look at the splits for Gausman over the last 30 days. He's a right-handed pitcher versus righties, Kevin, a 226 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 0.074, both fantastic numbers for a pitcher. Now, he is getting absolutely destroyed, Kevin, from the left-hand side, a 514 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 378. So stack those left-handed bats against Gausman. Not so fast with the Houston Astros. Anticipated in the lineup tonight, Brantley, who's a lefty, Tucker, who's a lefty, the rest are righties. So theoretically, if Gausman treats Brantley with kid gloves and Tucker with kid gloves, he's dominated right-handed bats. That's why that number is so low to take a look at off the bat, because what you can do to Gausman from the left-hand side, it looks like the Houston Astros, Kevin, won't be able to take advantage of that situation.
It's tremendous insight there. And that's why these matchups in Major League Baseball change the numbers on a daily basis. You know, at the end of the day, if the Lakers play the Wizards four games in a row at the same ballpark, the number's going to probably just be the same. But with Major League Baseball, those pitching matchups and the way things line up, those lineups there, and that's an excellent breakdown. Don, I want to bring up quickly Mets-Reds. This is an interesting one. Is how long do you think someone needs to wait to bet this game here? We know the Mets are looking to be buyers, but could somebody come out of their lineup? The Reds are an interesting team in their own right here. They're playing at Citi Field today also, which is typically a ballpark we've tried to stay away from.
No, you're correct. And this is a tough one to try to decipher, because if you're looking to bet the Mets, they're not trading anybody out of their lineup. So you could be comfortable if you like the numbers that you see up against Sonny Gray here, which they're going to go against. But you are correct. A true pitcher's ballpark this year that we've seen up at Citi Field. But looking from a Cincinnati perspective, we haven't heard anything out there that shows that they're going to be true sellers, at least from their lineup. Are they going to move Joey Votto? Are they going to move Jesse Winker? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So this is one of those games I'm not all that enthusiastic about. But if you are to bet early, I don't see a big difference in that.
Yeah, really interesting if Joey Votto can go to Citi Field and continue to be the best power hitter that baseball has to offer. We take a break. We'll come right back. The early line on SportsCenter.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, time to close out the week right here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. It's been a fun Friday, a jam-packed Friday, no doubt about it, Donnie. I tell you, it's going to be really interesting to see what this trade deadline will bring us. And I know we're also kind of counting down the minutes here, hoping that Friday can bring us an early winner on some Olympic soccer.
No, certainly. 2 points here to make. The best part about the show tonight on In-Play Sports Tonight is we're going to be able to recap the trade deadline and what went down, and also how it pertains to some of the games tonight. But you are correct here. Two hanging in the balance here for the FanDuel Sports Book odds boost here with the women's national team. We have them tied in with the men's basketball team, both to win gold. So obviously, if they don't advance today, that one would lose. But also just a straight up bet here on the FanDuel Sports Book odds boost today for the U.S. national team, the women's soccer team, to advance today over the Netherlands. We are waiting for that to take place. They are in extra time here, Kevin. So once we sign off, we have to take the dog for a walk here and hope we get some goals here from Team USA.
No doubt about it. Once that dong is wonking, good things start to happen. Don, I mean, just trying to, you know, project what we'll see from Major League Baseball. I don't know, maybe a hot or not. I'm thinking the Mets land bias. I'm thinking that they make Francisco Lindor happy and pair him up with Javi, and eventually maybe they think that'll be an easier situation to handle during the offseason, since they know that those two guys want to play together and Brian and Boris are going to give anybody a headache.
Yeah, maybe a package deal also, because we see them involved possibly with Davies coming over from the Chicago Cubs. So maybe one of those things that we looked at to a lesser degree where the Los Angeles Dodgers went out and got Scherzer and Trey Turner. Maybe they can get themselves a pitcher and a shortstop as well. Any move by the Mets is going to be a significant difference, and then the Phillies will have to counter by the deadline. What a great day in sports here to watch, and setting up for a great weekend here. I'm excited to watch it play out here, and good Major League Baseball games tonight on the card. We just don't know who's actually going to be playing where, Kevin.
No doubt about it. I cannot wait to watch this all play out. And as Donnie mentioned, we'll be able to break that down, plus the live board on In Play Sports tonight on Sports Grid Radio. That runs from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, so check us out there. Coming up next on Sports Grid, Ariel Epstein and Ben Scott Stevens break down the NBA draft and the baseball deadline on The More After. For Donnie, I'm Kevin. We'll see you next week.
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. What are